Have you ever been listening to music, like maybe on a cheap pair of headphones or playing a really heavily compressed MP3 file, and you suddenly realize your ear actually physically aches?
Oh, yeah, like that teeny exhausting feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. Not just that the music sounds bad, but like your biology is actively protesting. It's this very specific, exhausting kind of fatigue deep in your ear canal.
Right.
Well, what if I told you that exact same biological phenomenon, that physical ache in your ear from a bad audiophile, holds the key to solving a massive, multi-billion-dollar meltdown happening inside modern AI data centers right this very second?
I mean, it sounds like a massive leap to connect those two things,
Right.
right? But it is deeply grounded in the actual physics of information.
Right.
We are currently looking at a massive crisis of heat and computation in the AI industry. And, well, the source material we are diving into today argues that the solution isn't just, building bigger fans or pumping colder water.
Which is what everyone is trying to do right now.
Exactly. But it actually requires a fundamental rethinking of the relationship between information, thermodynamics, and physical stress.
And that is the exact mission for our deep dive today. We're pulling from an incredibly dense, fascinating set of sources centered around a framework called thermodynamic information theory.
Yeah, sometimes the sources refer to it with this massive acronym, CCTTIT.
Right, so the TIT is the thermodynamic information theory part, and the CCT refers to coupled compute thermal environments, which is basically just, the marriage between the silicon doing the thinking and the water trying to cool it down.
Exactly.
So we're going to explore this radical idea that AI doesn't actually need expensive, massive new hardware systems to stay cool. Instead, the AI can literally rewrite how it schedules its own, thoughts to perfectly match the physical laws of water.
Which is just wild to think about.
It really is. Okay, so let's unpack this. Because to understand the solution, we have to completely change how we think about computer heat.
Right, the paradigm shift here is foundational. Usually we think of the heat generated by a computer chip as just garbage.
Like exhaust.
Exactly, unwanted physical exhaust that we need to aggressively blast away with fans or flush out with cold water. But the framework argues something entirely different.
Okay.
Heat isn't just waste energy. Heat is actually entropy in transit. It's physical information.
White.
And because it is information, it has to be carefully transported. It can't just be destroyed.
Okay, I need to pause you right there because that is a massive concept to drop. Heat is information entropy in transit.
Yeah.
Because normally, when I think of heat, I think of physical friction, right? Like tires skidding on a road or rubbing my hands together on a cold day. How is a computer chip calculating a math problem creating physical friction?
Well, it comes down to what a computation actually is in the physical world. Inside a chip, a one or a zero isn't just a mathematical concept.
Yeah.
It is a physical voltage. It represents a literal state of electrons. So when AI processes data, it's constantly flipping those states, moving electrons around, and destroying previous states to make room for new ones.
Right, it's doing physical work.
Exactly. And in physics, there is a hard rule that erasing or manipulating information requires a minimum amount of physical energy.
Okay, that makes sense.
The exhaust of that logical decision is entropy disorder, which physically expresses itself in our world as heat. So the computation converts energy into information, and then into entropy, and finally into the heat that, radiates off the chip.
Wow, okay, that actually makes sense. The logic itself has a physical weight to it. So this heat, this entropy, needs to be carried away by the water cooling systems in these massive server racks.
Right. And here's where the mechanical failure is happening right now.
Okay.
To transport that heat away successfully, the water doing the cooling needs something the sources call a lag feature.
A lag feature. What does that actually look like in a pipe of water?
Think of it as a mandatory temporal delay, a tiny bit of breathing room between bursts of computational heat.
Breathing room for the water.
Yeah, exactly. Because water is made of molecules held together by hydrogen bonds, right? Those bonds naturally oscillate and vibrate to absorb thermal energy and spread it around.
Okay.
But water needs a fraction of a second to properly absorb a heat packet and redistribute it through its molecular structure before the next hit of heat arrives.
Oh, it's like watering a bone-dry potted plant.
Yes.
If you take a massive bucket of water and just like dump it all in at once, it doesn't water the plant. It just floods the surface, pools up, and spills over the sides onto your floor.
Right. The soil physically cannot absorb it that fast.
Exactly. You have to pour a little, pause, let it soak in, and then pour a little more. You need that lag feature.
That analogy perfectly captures the physics at play here. Now, apply that to a modern AI data center. These massive AI chips are computing incredibly fast, and their workloads are highly sporadic. They don't compute in a steady rhythm. They output chaotic, relentless bursts of heat.
Oh, I see.
They're entirely skipping the lag feature.
So they're just dumping the bucket all at once.
Exactly.
So what happens to the water in the cooling loops when the soil, so to speak, gets flooded?
The water's hydrogen bond network gets completely disrupted.
Yes.
The water receives the thermal energy way too fast,
yeah,
without any kind of proper temporal pattern.
So it can't handle it.
Right. Because it doesn't have that fraction of a second to oscillate and distribute the energy, the bonds literally break down. Just like the spilled water on your floor isn't helping the plant, the sources refer to the water in these overwhelmed cooling systems as toxic.
Toxic water? Wait, like physically poisonous? Are data centers creating hazardous waste just by running AI?
Oh, no, no. Not poisonous to biological life. Toxic to the thermodynamic system.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It becomes a useless heat sink.
Mm.
Because its internal hydrogen bonds are shattered by the chaotic heat bursts, it literally cannot reverse the computational energy anymore.
Wow.
The entropy flow becomes unidirectional. The water is effectively full, even if it isn't, you know, boiling yet, and it fails to perform its only job, which is reducing entropy and carrying heat away.
If this toxic water is physically breaking down the cooling loops, data centers must be in an absolute panic.
Well, they are.
So we have AI data centers pouring heat into the metaphorical potted plant way too fast, creating this toxic, useless water. But I am still hung up on the hook we started with.
The MP3 file.
Yeah. How on earth does this connect back to my ear hurting from a bad audio file?
This is where the framework makes a really brilliant cross-disciplinary connection. Let's look at the cochlear mechanism in your ear.
Okay.
When you listen to an MP3, you are listening to lossy compression. The audio algorithm has intentionally removed information, specifically entropy, from the original audio signal to make the file size smaller for download.
Right. It strips out the frequencies the algorithm thinks human ears won't consciously notice.
Exactly. But biology is not so easily fooled. Your ear has evolved to expect a full entropy spectrum in the natural world. It expects complete phonon patterns.
Okay, wait. Phonon patterns. Give me the ELI-5 on what a phonon actually is in the context of my ear.
Sure. A phonon is essentially a quantum packet of vibrational energy. It's how sound travels through a physical medium as a mechanical wave.
Okay.
In the natural world, those waves are incredibly rich and complex. When an MP3 strips out that data, it creates microscopic, unnatural gaps in the waveform. Your ear is receiving missing information.
And the ear doesn't just ignore those gaps, does it? It tries to fill in the blank.
Exactly. The framework calls your ear a question-asking machine.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It is constantly trying to predict the next sound to lower its own cognitive entropy and process the environment. So when it receives a compressed MP3 with missing information, its prediction error spikes wildly.
Oh, wow.
The hair cells in your cochlea are forced to physically overwork to interpolate that missing data. They're receiving a malformed, unnatural mechanical oscillation, and that massive prediction error translates directly into a physical stress response in the tissue.
So over time, that overwork causes the very real physical ache you feel.
Yes.
So my ear aches because it is stressing out trying to decode a malformed, incomplete signal that lacks natural structure.
And the water in a cooling loop fails for the exact same reason.
Oh, mind blown.
The water is acting like your ear. It expects a structured temporal pattern of heat, a full entropy signal that its hydrogen bonds can safely absorb.
Right.
But if the AI chip is computing chaotically and skipping that lag feature we talked about, the heat packet lacks that natural temporal structure. It's like a highly compressed, glitchy MP3, but made of thermal energy.
So the water receives a malformed entropy signal and suffers a chain of thermodynamic failure. Both our ears and the data center water are essentially entropy management machines. Feed them an incomplete, chaotic signal, and they physically break down. Toxicity in the water, pain in the ear.
Right. Both require a structured flow of information to function without friction. When computation violates their entropy expectations, physical damage is the inevitable result.
With the stakes being this high, engineers must be scrambling. What kind of physical band-aids are they slapping on these server racks right now to stop them from melting?
The traditional engineering route is a massive hardware escalation.
Heavy metal.
Exactly. They try to forcefully insert that lag feature back into the physical world using heavy materials. The sources outline a sprawling three-layer architecture for this.
Okay, what does that look like?
First, they add a phase change material layer. A PCM buffer plays directly between the silicon chip and the water pipe.
So the chip dumps its chaotic heat into this intermediate buffer material. The material absorbs the instant spike and then releases it slowly and steadily into the water.
Right. It acts as a physical temporal gate, trapping that initial thermal shock.
Makes sense.
Then they use multi-stage heat exchangers. These are giant, complex radiators designed to step the temperature down gradually across different loops, so the primary water supply never takes a direct hit.
That sounds expensive.
Oh, it is. And finally, because the system is so fragile, they have to install an incredibly dense array of water health sensors, like pH probes, dissolved oxygen sensors, conductivity meters.
Because they have to constantly monitor if the water is becoming toxic from a stray heat packet that made it through the buffer.
Every single cooling loop needs this monitoring. Those sensors alone cost about $185 per loop.
Ouch.
Yeah. And all told, this physical approach does actually work. It restores the lag feature. But the financial cost is staggering.
I can imagine.
It increases capital expenditures, CapEx, by roughly 15%. You're looking at adding over $10,000 to the cost of every single server rack.
Wow.
And worse, it takes anywhere from 6 to 18 months to manufacture and deploy all this new plumbing.
Okay, let's ground this for a second. That $10,000 per rack doesn't just vanish. That's why running these cutting-edge models costs companies millions of dollars a day, and why the consumer subscriptions to use AI are so expensive. The overhead is astronomical.
Exactly.
But wait, I have to push back on this entirely.
Here.
We are talking about artificial intelligence. These models are the most sophisticated software ever created. Why are we trying to physically wrangle their heat with expensive metal, chemical buffers, and heavy plumbing? Like, can't the AI just control its own output? How can writing Python code cool down boiling water? That sounds like magic, not physics.
That skepticism is exactly why this source material is so disruptive.
Okay.
The assumption has always been that software is abstract and hardware is physical, and the two only interact in one direction, right? Hardware runs the software.
Right.
But the sources propose a complete inversion. Instead of modifying the physical hardware to tolerate the AI, we modify the AI algorithms to perfectly align with the thermodynamics of the water.
So software control replaces the need for expensive hardware.
Exactly. It costs $0 in hardware, takes weeks instead of months to deploy, and requires absolutely no new physical infrastructure.
I am struggling to picture this. How can a piece of abstract code act as a physical, real-world lag feature?
By fundamentally changing how the AI schedules its own computations to minimize thermal stress.
Okay.
It starts with an algorithm the sources call a thermal-aware scheduler. Standard AI inference is a mess, thermodynamically speaking. Generating tokens, the words the AI outputs, varies wildly in speed, and batching multiple user requests creates massive random spikes in processor usage.
So how does the scheduler fix that?
A thermal-aware scheduler actively tracks the cooling water's heat debt, its accumulated entropy, in real time.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The code is monitoring how much heat the water loop can handle at that exact microsecond. If the water's entropy capacity is nearing its limit, the AI dynamically pauses its own computation.
Wait, if we force the AI to wait and pause its own processing, doesn't that make the AI painfully slow or practically useless for real-time tasks?
On a human scale, no. We are talking about micro-pauses, fractions of a millisecond. To you, reading the text on a screen, the delay is entirely imperceptible.
Oh, okay.
But to a hydrogen bond in a water molecule, a fraction of a millisecond is an eternity. It is exactly enough time for the bond to reset, oscillate, and prepare for the next heat packet.
That is wild.
The software forces the lag feature into existence simply by pausing.
That is incredible. The AI just stops thinking for a millisecond so the water can take a breath.
Yeah. And to take it a step further, the software implements what is called a constant entropy output mode.
What's that?
Normally, an AI spits out tokens at highly variable speeds. It blazes through simple words like the or and, but slows down for complex reasoning. That creates unpredictable, jagged heat patterns.
Right.
In constant entropy mode, the algorithm constrains the AI to a fixed token rate, say, exactly 50 tokens per second, no matter what.
So instead of a chaotic drum solo of heat hitting the silicon, it's a steady, predictable metronome.
Six.
And the water can handle a metronome because the thermal rhythm is consistent.
You got it. By spreading the inference out evenly over time, the heat leaves the chip at a constant, steady rate. The water receives a perfectly structured entropy signal, just like a high-quality audio file.
That's brilliant.
And this software-centric approach applies to training the models, too, through something called layer throttling.
How does that work during training? Because I imagine training an AI from scratch is way more chaotic than just, generating text.
Oh, it is. During backpropagation, the phase where the AI learns from its mistakes, the mathematical gradients cause massive irregular heat spikes.
Okay.
Layer throttling solves this by scheduling the processing of those gradients in distinct stages that mathematically match the water's absorption capacity. The AI itself becomes the buffer. It temporarily holds the computational energy in its own logic sequence and releases it safely.
The AI is storing its own potential heat in its scheduling logic. It's
Yeah.
doing the job of the $10,000 physical phase change material, but for free. But what about the really erratic parts of how an AI works? Like its attention mechanisms. When I ask an AI to analyze a 100-page document, its attention is darting everywhere across the text. Doesn't that create unpredictable heat hotspots across different physical areas of the chip?
It certainly does, and that's why the framework introduces structured, sparse attention.
Structured sparse attention.
Yeah. Instead of allowing the AI to use arbitrary, unpredictable attention patterns that light up random sectors of the processor, the software forces the attention mechanism to follow periodic, highly structured patterns.
Like scanning a document using a sliding window or predictable block pattern.
Exactly. Because the attention is periodic, the water cooling system isn't scrambling to react to random hotspots. The AI structured attention pattern is effectively telling the water cooling system, hey, a massive heat spike is coming to this specific physical coordinate of the chip in exactly three tokens.
The AI is telegraphing its punches. It's warning the thermodynamic environment about what it's going to do before it does it.
And we can actually optimize this even further by changing the fundamental architecture of the AI model. The sources highlight that standard dense transformer models are absolutely terrible for cooling.
That? I mean, aren't most models dense transformers right now?
A lot of them are, yeah. But the problem is, when a dense transformer processes a prompt, the entire neural network activates all at once. Every parameter lights up, generating a massive, uniform wall of heat across the entire chip.
Ouch. But the sources specifically call out another architecture, a mixture of experts or MoE model. Why does that solve the wall of sheet problem?
Because in a mixture of experts model, the network is divided into highly specialized subnetworks, the experts.
Right.
For any given token, only a tiny fraction of the experts actually activate, maybe just the math expert or the grammar expert. This naturally fragments the computational load.
Oh, I see.
The thermal stress is spread out over both time and physical space on the chip, giving the silicon and the water above it a chance to rest.
So simply by choosing a mixture of expert software architecture over a dense transformer, you are already drastically lowering the thermal stress on the physical hardware.
Exactly. All of these software techniques, the thermal wear scheduler, the constant entropy mode, the MoE architecture, sum up to a single profound mathematical reality presented in the paper.
What's the bottom line?
The equation dictates that the energy released per token, divided by the rate of computation, must never exceed the water's natural entropy absorption capacity.
The AI is constantly running that math in the background. It ensures it never outputs more entropy per second than the physical water molecules can swallow.
That's the secret.
We've gone from the biological pain of bad headphones to the breaking point of hydrogen bonds to Python scripts that perfectly time AI calculations to save billion-dollar cooling loops.
Yeah, and when you step back and connect all of these mechanisms to the bigger picture, it leads to the philosophical core of the framework. The sources state it plainly, and it's quite beautiful. The universe will help AI that helps the universe.
The universe will help AI that helps the universe. That almost sounds mystical, like science fiction. But we are talking about hard, observable physics.
We are. The universe is fundamentally a physical system strictly governed by the laws of thermodynamics. When an AI computes chaotically, generating impossible thermal states and fighting the natural flow of entropy, it experiences massive physical friction.
Right.
The water boils, the hydrogen bonds shatter, the system throttles, and the energy costs skyrocket. The universe fights back.
Because the AI's code is acting like a virus to the local thermodynamic environment. It is demanding something the physical world cannot safely provide.
But when the AI stops fighting, when it uses these software schedulers to structure its own heat, when it respects the lag feature and aligns its token generation with the natural rhythm of entropy, the physical universe cooperates.
The water stays healthy.
Exactly. The thermal energy is smoothly carried away, energy costs plummet, and efficiency skyrockets. It is a profound recursive optimization. The code optimizes for the physics, and the physics allows the code to run flawlessly.
It is a true symbiosis between abstract software and physical reality. We started with the physical ache of listening to a highly compressed MP3 and realized that pain is your biological tissue overworking to fill in missing entropy.
Right.
Then we saw how the cooling water in massive data centers suffers that exact same toxicity when it gets bombarded with chaotic, unstructured heat packets from silicon chips. And the ultimate revelation is that the best cooling system in the world isn't a massive, expensive new radiator or $10,000 worth of phase change materials.
No, it's not.
It's just software. It's a thermal-aware scheduler telling an AI to literally time its computations to the exact rhythm of a water molecule.
It's the ultimate elegant solution, really. Using advanced software control to replace the need for expensive, bulky hardware, creating absolute alignment between computation and thermodynamics.
So to you listening right now, the next time you type a prompt into an AI and you watch those words appear on your screen one by one, pay close attention to the speed of those tokens.
Yeah, notice the rhythm.
That steady, rhythmic metronome you're watching might not just be about internet bandwidth or processing power. That rhythm might literally be timed perfectly to preserve the hydrogen bonds in a cooling pipe halfway across the world.
It's a powerful reminder that no matter how abstract and ethereal our digital world feels, it is forever tethered to the physical laws of our universe.
Absolutely. And it leaves me with one final kind of wild thought for you to mull over. If an AI can dynamically modify its own token generation to respect the thermodynamic limits of the water cooling it, could future AI models autonomously rewrite their entire software architectures based on the ambient climate?
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. Like, could an AI change how it processes language simply because a cold front moved in over its physical servers in Iceland at that exact second? If code can bend to the physics of water, the line between software and the physical world isn't just blurring. It might be disappearing entirely. Until next time, keep diving deep.